turn your Bibles, believe it or not, we're back in Ephesians, that prison epistle written from Rome by the Apostle Paul. We're going to be in chapter 4. I pray that you open your Bibles, you at home. Now listen, it is very, very important that you don't neglect the opening of the Word of God in your homes. Get the kids out of bed, get the teenagers up, and take away, whatever those things they play, and let's get into God's Word this morning. You know, we've had many breaks in our series of teaching through Ephesians. That is something that I never like to do because you can, I'm not saying we have, but you can lose the momentum of one of the greatest, like someone said, Ephesians is the greatest piece of writing in all of the world. And indeed it is. It is a treasure chest. It is so deep. The riches that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember that we have left off now the three chapters, and now we moved into our walk 4, 5, and 6. So we're commanded in Ephesians chapter 4 to walk worthy of our calling. Very important to just rehearse that, to remember it. Remember, to walk worthy literally means, or a picture of a set of scales, weights. So it's on this side, you put 10 pounds, and on this side you put 10 pounds, and it's equal, amen? So in other words, to walk worthy of our calling, you have to be equal in doctrine. In Ephesians, of course, it would be chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then an equal in our practice, meaning a doer of the Word of God, chapters 4, 5, and 6. So with all of those things in mind, if we hear the Word of God and not do the Word of God, the Bible says that we're deceived. Amen? This message today, I pray that I do not stain it or soil it because it is deeper than I know how to teach. I pray that you grasp what the Word of God is going to say. I pray that you when you leave here today, you ponder all the things that I'm going to be speaking of this morning. Now, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be beginning in just a moment. Probably I'll reread from verse 17. But remember last time that we were together, remember we were commanded in verse 20 and 21 to learn a person. Look at it with me, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, and if indeed you've heard of him and been taught by him, is a truth that's in Jesus. So we are to learn a person. You know, we learn a language and so forth. Now we are to learn a person, and it is our Lord. And to learn Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life, that ongoing process of what we call sanctification, where we are changed into the image, glory to glory, remember, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, into Christ likeness. And remember from last time we were in Ephesians, to learn Jesus, we have to do something. Matthew 11, 29 and 30. We have to obey the command. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And remember what Jesus said? He said, learn from me. We put the yoke, Jesus said, my yoke is so easy, my burden is light. We put that yoke on, and he teaches us. In other words, to have the yoke of Christ is to have the lowly heart of Christ in us. Thinking like he thinks, acting like he thinks, reacting like he reacts. So with all of that being this morning, I want to talk to you about renewing the spirit of your mind, one of the most important verses in our text. But before I go into the text, I want to just read something from a doctor, many doctors, but about the difference between the brain and the mind. Very important. He says, the brain and the mind are not the same. Now, your brain is part of the visible, tangible world of the body, but your mind is part of the invisible, transcendent world of thought, feeling, attitude, belief, emotion, imagination. The brain is the physical organ associated with mind, consciousness, but the mind is not confined to the brain. Very important. The intelligence of your mind permeates every cell of your body, not just brain cells. Now, that was from a doctor called William Salt, and many other doctors, of course, agree with him, but you're going to find from the Word of God what that really, really means. So let's begin this morning in verse 17. Let me just read. It says, "And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." In other words, their minds are confused. Their minds are empty. That's what we used to do. We would walk like the lost person, and we didn't know our minds were empty. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling," growing numb in their heart, their hearts are blind, it says, "have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ." Very important. "If indeed you've heard him, been taught by him as the truth in Jesus." Now look what it says there, verse 22. "Now that you put off," that takes us back to verses 21 and 22 that I just read, "that you put off concerning your former conduct, the what kind of man? The old man," and look what happens to the old man, "which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust." Now, let me read J.B. Phillips' translation. It says, "What you learned was to fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living, which were rotted through and through with lust's illusions." So we are commanded now, because we're new creations, we're born from above, And we can do this. You're commanded to put off the old man, meaning our old former way of life, the lifestyle we had before we came to Christ Jesus. So to put off the old man is to put off the slave in you. Remember that old dethroned fallen nature who wants to rule and wants to reign, that exiled ruler, if you will, who still lives in us, even though dead. But he lives and he wants to take over, oh, every day of your life. Remember in Galatians, what, 5, 16, 17? It tells us this: if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the Spirit lust, or the Spirit wars against the flesh, the old man, and the flesh, the old man, wars against the Spirit. There's a constant battle, even though the old man, the old Billy, is dead. He wants to rise up and kick the new man, the new Jesus Christ, off of our heart. And he wants to rule again. He wants to rule your emotions. He wants to rule the way that you think. See, the old man, he loves slavery. And you know why? Because that's all that he ever knew. He didn't know he was a slave to sin and death. He had no idea until he was born from above. So we know that the Bible teaches in Romans 6:6 that our old man was crucified with Christ, together with Christ, that co-crucifixion. When Christ died, we died. When Christ rose, we rose. When Christ ascended, we ascended with him. The Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places right now, right this minute. That is our position in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we know that that old man, all that we were in Adam, unprofitable, useless, rebellious, has been crucified. You know, legalists say, you know what, you need to crucify yourself, but that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm not trying to live the crucified life. I have died, amen, with Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, listen, I have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, right this minute, the life that I live right now in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loves me, or faith in the Son of God who loves me and who gave himself for me. See, the old man, what I was, what you were in Adam, is dead, crucified. However, he still wants to live. Now, with all that being said this morning, we know that that is a true word. The old man was crucified with Christ. But however, the old man is a result of being in Adam. Remember in the garden, what did Adam and Eve do? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the results of all of that is every generation since the fall have suffered the consequences of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, our first parents, the federal head of the human race. When he sinned, sin and death began to reign, all because of that one sin, that one man. But listen now, to be in Christ Jesus means that you can't be an Adam. Amen? Yes, all things become new, loved one. No, we've been justified by faith through grace, declared innocent. Jesus lives in our heart. The Holy Spirit is upon us and up in us as well. So therefore, by that, we can put off and become what we truly are in Christ Jesus, and that is children of the living God. Now, look at it again, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. Now, watch this now, which grows. Say that word with me, grows. Very important word. Which grows what? Corrupt. Now, how does that happen? According, it says, deceitful lust. So we're to put that off. Now listen, the grows corrupt is something that's not, it just happens. It's a continuous, ongoing process where you're dominated, the old man is dominated by the deceitful lust and so forth. What a horrible thought. And that's what happened to us. Now listen, the deceitful lust are those lust, the Word of God says they deceive you. You remember Eve in the garden. She told the Lord, the Lord asked her, why did you eat? And what did Eve say to the Lord God? He says, well, the serpent, he deceived me. He deceived me, Lord, and I ate. She ate from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Now listen to me. The word corrupt means to do this, go from a perfect condition to a worse condition forever. And ever and ever. If the illustration you've seen me use over the last nearly 30 years is this. I say, if you take a bite out of a brand new fresh apple, the inside is beautiful and the meat is beautiful and white. Is that correct? Yes. But if I set it here and then when the sermon was over, would it still be white? No, it would be starting to turn brown. Why? It is corrupting. And it would get worse and worse and worse. You take a fresh banana, and you know, it's ripe, it's too green, you can't eat. That makes you sick, correct? You can talk to me. We're family. But if you leave those bananas out long enough, do they stay green and ripe? No, and then they get perfect. Now you can eat them. No, they're sweet and they're good, and put them in your cereal, and you know. But if you leave them, they start corrupting and they get black and then they start dripping and it's gross. All right. You got what I'm saying, right? So that's what that word corrupt, grows corrupt means. Now listen, when Adam and Eve, when they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, instantly, the moment that happened, loved one, corruption set in. They were perfect. Now corruption set in. They were changed. Instantly they were changed. You know what happened? Their eyes were opened. They knew for the very first time mentally, they knew mentally that they were naked, that they were unclothed. That was an experience they had never, ever had. Adam went from Adam and Eve, perfect condition, to a worse condition. That's why the Bible tells us in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. He who sows to his flesh reaps corruption. He who sows to his spirit reaps everlasting life. You see, the old man can never be anything else but growing corrupt. And finally, it ends in hell. Does that make sense? Horrible. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men, imposters, the old men that they are, slaves, the slave that's in them, it says they grow worse and worse. That process, being deceived and deceiving others. Why? Because of the verse I just read, verse 22, deceitful lust that is working in them. So putting off the old man, that old nature, that old lifestyle is something that we do. Okay, we do that. Now, it's not done for us, but we have been given the power to put it off. Romans 8:12 says this, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh, not to that old man. We're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh, to live our old lifestyle. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the power of another, the divine helper, if you will, but if by the Spirit, it says, you put to death. You put to death. That's present tense in the Greek. So you do it right now. You put to death the deeds of the flesh or the deeds of the body, and you shall live. Now listen, I don't owe my old man a thing. Amen? He is a deceiver. He's ruled by the lust of his flesh. He's ruled by the pride of life. He's in rebellion constantly against God. He wants his own way. He's a lover of self, not a lover of God. That's the old man. I owe him nothing, but I can put the deeds that he wants me to do to death by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the only way to kill the deeds of the flesh, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we come to a verse. This verse is deeper than I can teach, even though I know that you've read this a million times, you've studied it out, and you're probably saying right now, Bill, I have this verse down. Look what it says. Be renewed in the spirit of your what? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now listen carefully. Not the mind. It didn't say that. That's not what this verse is saying. It's not saying be renewed in your mind. It's be renewed in the spirit, little s, the spirit of your mind. Renewed is ongoing, not a one-time act. So I don't know what it is in the Greek, present continuous. I don't even know if that's right or not. It doesn't matter, does it? But I know what it means. It means to have a renewal is a process that is ongoing until the day you die. It is Christ. Remember, it is God is working in you until the very day of Christ Jesus. Amen? He's going to perfect those things in you. So this is that ongoing process of renewal every day. Every day you're in the Word of God. Every day. So that renewal. But watch this now. It's not the Holy Spirit, even though, yes, the Holy Spirit is working in you. Yes, the Holy Spirit is taking you from glory to glory to glory. Yes, He's the Spirit of truth who teaches you the Word of God. But that's not what the Scripture is saying, even though the other things I just said are valid and true. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit there is not the Holy Spirit, but the individual human spirit, okay? Now, renewal doesn't take place in your mind. Isn't that amazing? You're saying, now, Bill, you're losing me. No, no, no. Renewal does not take place in the mind. It takes place in the spirit of it, in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of the mind, let me read this. I wrote it down, and this is so important, I don't want to miss it. The spirit of the mind is the part which controls and governs everything that was blinded by Satan at the fall. Does that make sense? In other words, man and woman, can I just put it, they lost their minds. Does that make sense? You have to say they lost their minds. Listen, natural man. In other words, those that are lost, those that are in Adam all die, in Christ all live. Amen? So the natural man, he does not receive the things of the Spirit. Why? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the spirit of his mind was lost at the fall through Adam, and now the lost person, those in Adam, their mind is vacant on that one part. Does that make sense? There's something there that's missing in man that's fallen. And remember what happened at the flood, before the flood happened. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart, the thinking processes, were only evil continually. Now listen, continually. Every thought they were thinking was filled with evil 24/7. That's why God had to destroy. That's why Noah built an ark. Listen, that is a direct result of the fall. their mind was not governed by the spirit of their mind any longer because of what Adam and Eve did. Their thinking was off. Their thinking was failing because their thinking was flesh or carnal. Remember, it says in Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh, here it comes, set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, their thoughts, their emotions, their desires, their values. Why? They don't have the spirit of the mind. They're carnal. They're dead in trespasses and sins. He says, and that's the old man, by the way, but those who live according to the Spirit, in other words, our minds are being renewed, it says, through the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, rooted, that word means a deep-rooted hatred, enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. The mind of the lost, the mind of the old man, listen to me now, has no ability and cannot in any way submit to God. Why? In their thinking. Why is that? Because the carnal mind hates God. You can tell, you go and you witness to someone who is lost, and you can talk about anything to them. You can mention Buddha. You can mention Confucius. You can even mention Democrats and Republicans. Do you understand? But you mention Jesus, they look at you. They fix their stare upon you. I don't want to hear anything. I don't know, the church filled with hypocrites. Do you understand what I'm saying? The carnal mind, whether fallen man knows it or not, they don't want anything to do with God because of what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. And listen, they don't have the spirit of the mind because, again, they're missing that in the fall. And that's why there are so many confused people today. Their minds have been blinded. And I'm not talking about the brain. I'm talking about the spirit of their mind. And it must be renewed to think properly. If a person calls himself a Christian and they do not desire to renew, to walk in the newness of life, that means they have no desire to renew their minds to the word of the living God. Now look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness, and we can add to Scripture there legally, and true holiness, okay? So the old man, the new man, they are exact opposites. The old man has a fallen nature. The new man has the divine nature. The old man is in Adam, and in Adam everyone dies. The new man is in Christ, and in Christ all are made alive or all live. The old man is corrupt. He grows corrupt. He can't change that. It's an impossibility. He must be born again. The old man grows corrupt, but the new man, listen, the new man is created. Never before existed. A brand new. It didn't exist previously. You see, we are the church of Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 2:15 how God took the two, Jew and Gentile, he made them one. It says he created in himself, created, there's that word, one new man, Jew, Gentile, now one body. That's what Ephesians teaches. Christ is the head. So new, never before existing. Whenever Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, born from above, new creation, never existed before, never. New creation, old things, the old man, the old way of life, the old lifestyle, old things, what? Pass away. All things become what? New. Why? Because your spirit of your mind has been restored from what Adam lost. Does that make sense? That is, you say, Bill, this is weird. No. Loved one, listen. There is only one true holiness. There is only one true righteousness. And there is only one God who can impute perfect innocence and perfect right standing. And that's when we believe in Christ. That's what happens. Adam lost the righteousness and the holiness. He lost it in the garden when he sinned. Adam willfully sinned. Eve was deceived. Remember? Okay. Now, the new man, who we are right now, we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. The perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ has been imputed into our account, if you will. Remember, the word impute means to take what belongs to someone else and now put into your account. It's not imparted. It's his righteousness. It's imputed. We have no righteousness of our own. That's why Christ's righteousness, it never changes, never. That's why we can say, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? We'll never go into the judgment. We'll never be judged for our sins, never. Because Jesus took them. He paid our sin debt. They're as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Now, with all that being said, the new man clothed in Christ's righteousness, but our old man, what were we clothed with? Fig leaves. Remember what happened? The old man, oh yeah, clothed in fig leaves. Why? Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There wasn't anything wrong about the tree. Every tree that God made in the garden, he says, was good. What was wrong and sinful was they disobeyed the only command that God gave them in the entire garden. And when they ate, they disobeyed God. God told them, the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Now, with all that being said, it says in Genesis 3:7, and the eyes of both of them, Adam and Eve, were opened. Their entire world now changed, just like our world kind of changed, you know, with this coronavirus or whatever you call it. And listen now, they knew. Okay, here. They knew for the very first time. They knew they were naked. What does that mean? They were unclothed. They lost their covering. They lost their holiness. They lost the spirit of the mind. Listen, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Let me ask you a question. In the Garden of Eden before the fall, did Adam and Eve know what a lie was? No. Did they know what lack of faith was? Did they ever doubt God? No, it wasn't in their mind. Did they ever go, I don't think God loves me today? No. Why? Their mind was, it was the spirit of their mind that was still intact. They didn't doubt God. They loved God. You know, they would have never thought of hiding from God, which they did. Does that make sense? See, they lost that part of their thinking process, that spiritual part, whatever that means. And so they sewed those fig leaves together. So what Satan promised, it certainly came to pass. Remember what he says? Oh, you know, you're not going to surely die. Don't believe God. You know, he always creates doubt. You're not, don't believe God. He said, oh no, for God knows in the day that you eat of this, there he is, the tempter, remember, in the trees, deceiving them, or deceiving Eve. He says, oh, you don't you know, for God knows that in the day, man, that you eat it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God. You love God. What's wrong with being like God? You will be like God, knowing good and evil. They saw that the food was good for to eat. In other words, the pride of life, the lust of life, all those things. One to make one wise. She ate, gave it to her husband. He willfully sinned. He ate. But their eyes were open, but it wasn't the way they expected. Amen? They lost something. Now listen, for the very first time, this couple, our parents, experience guilt and shame. They had never had those emotions ever in their life. And then what did they do? The first attempt by man to cover his sin. What did they do? They sowed fig leaves, religion. For the very first time, these were the first two sinners on earth. They were the first married couple to sin on the planet. Their eyes were wide open, and what did they do? They hid from God. Now listen, the Bible tells us something. Adam lost That's the renewal, whatever it is, that spirit of the mind that we're to renew. He lost it. Eve lost it. Every man that's ever been born, every woman, every person, they lost it. And we go through life and we even ask stupid questions like, where do I come from? You know, come on, before you were born again, I wonder if there's, you know, aliens out there, phone, home, you know, all that stuff, you know. Listen, why am I here? Before I was born again, I asked myself that all the time. I even said, what is truth? There's no truth. My truth is truth. Do you understand how the mind was messed up? So now that we're born again, it says we're to do something. The only way to put off the old man that's dead is that you have to put on the new man. And the only way that you can do that is verse 23. This verse is so vital this morning, so vital in your own personal life. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not your brain. The spirit needs to renew. Why? Or how? How is that done? We all know how that's done. Amen? Romans 12. Amen? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. What did Paul say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, or set apart for God, set apart for the use of God, your body, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or your logical thing to do, or your reasonable act of worship unto God. Now listen, here's the deal. We're not only to present our bodies. And that word present is a picture of the Old Testament priest, if you will, laying the offering, the burnt offering out where it's totally consumed, where, Lord, here I am, I'm consumed with Jesus and no one else. But he says, it's not only your bodies. God says, it's not just your bodies that I want. Look what it says there. He says, your body's a living sacrifice. He says, acceptable to God. He says, but I want your minds. Something has now happened to your mind since you're born again. It says, look at this command, and be not conformed. Don't be squeezed into the pattern of the world. Don't be squeezed into the mold of the world. That's what that word conform means. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Remember how we're transformed? You know, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we go from glory to glory to glory. It's an inside work that manifests itself on the outside. It says, and be not conformed to this world, transformed, and here it is, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now listen, the world, the Lord, Paul's not talking about trees and rivers. He's talking about the world system, which is Antichrist, which means the world system that hates God, that wants nothing to do with God, where God is left out of human society. He's not wanted, he's not even needed. That world system that we live in even today, where they call good evil and evil good. You understand? That's where we live right this minute. The world system that we used to be a part of. We conducted our lives according, whatever they said was good is good. We just followed along and so forth. That world system that Satan is the ruler of. Look back at chapter 2, verse 1. It says in Ephesians there, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Man, that means spiritually dead. We weren't physically dead, but we were spiritually dead, going through the activities of life, but we didn't have spiritual life, in which you once walked. In other words, that the lifestyle of the course of the world, the word course means literally to be dominated or controlled by the hopes or the mood swings or whatever the world says is good, whatever the values of the world they say are. It says, who walked according to the course of this world, here it comes. How did we walk? According to the prince of the power of the air. There's a command, Christian. Do not be dominated. Do not be controlled. Do not be conformed to this world system, which is Antichrist. Now listen to me. There is a murderer who is ruling. John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning. He's a thief. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He comes to kill and to steal and destroy. A murderer. Look at the bloodshed. Look at the whole world. Man, listen, he is the author of death, and he is the prince of all dead minds that are still in Adam, whether they know it and whether they believe it or not. And the cry of our world has never changed. You know what the cry is? Right there, we just read it. Be conformed. Be conformed. Man, in other words, you accept my values, you're accepted. But if you don't, I'm going to hate you. If you don't like my lifestyle, then you got a problem. You need to practice tolerance. No, I practice what the Bible says. Amen? Are y'all with me? Listen, this is so important this morning. You know, because if you accept the values of the world says, hey, you're a good guy, we accept you. You know, but if you don't, they're going to hate you, they're going to persecute you. And you know why? The spirit of their mind is vacant. It's missing. They only have the mind of Adam now. They were born with a carnal mind. They can't help it. They're lost. Listen, the world that we are living in, it is passing away. It is temporary, loved one. And listen to me now. Boy, I've been praying. There's someone coming. There is someone that is coming, and he will give the entire world exactly what they want, exactly what they desire. Why? Because the old man belongs to the world. We're in the most troubled times in the history of Christendom right now. You cannot see the invisible threat that is attacking. I look and I say, oh God, what are we going to do? What's coming? What is the next wave? I'm more worried about the next wave than I am the coronavirus. And I say, no, the old man, he belongs to the world. Why? Because he loves the world. That's what the Bible says. He loves the world. He loves the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in him. He loves all that is in the world. And Satan is going to give, the Antichrist is going to give the world what they love. And here it is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The old man, he doesn't have the spirit of his mind there. He only has a carnal mind. He is dead in trespasses and sins. We have to put him off. He is in Adam. Listen, that's why the old man loves darkness, and he hates the light. He hates it. The world, I'm telling you right now, is ready. It is perfectly ripe for the man of sin, the god of this age, the blinder of minds. I'm telling you, it is. Do you see in the past few weeks how easy it is for man to follow a voice? The world, there's not going to be hard to take the mark. Oh, that's going to be the easiest thing for those in Adam to do. That's logical, man. Hey, yeah, all my needs, all my greeds, all my lust, everything I want, it's finally being met. I'm kind of like a god anyway. Are you with me? Listen, that's where we are. And that's where we are right this minute, right this second on God's timetable. The Bible tells us right now that this wicked man, the god of this age, the blinder of minds, 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, meaning never sin. It just means you don't practice a habitual lifestyle of sin. But he, meaning Jesus, who has been born of God, keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him, can never repossess you, can't touch you. You're inscribed on the palm of God's hand. 1 John 4:4, we know that we're of God, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Now, we know that we're of God. Why do we know that we're of God? Because we're new creations. We're born again. The spirit of our mind, not our brain. Does that make sense? The spirit of our mind tells us that we are the children of God. And we know something else. We know because the spirit of our minds being renewed, we're back to what we should have been at. We're learning and growing. We know now that the devil, the wicked one, holds the whole world in his sway. The whole world, the whole fallen world lies in the sway of the wicked one. And it tells us, loved one, in Revelation 12:9, it says, and he will deceive the whole world, and the whole world is going to be so easily deceived. Right now, right this minute, our world, it's not falling apart, it is actually falling into place. Just because God is the God of history, amen? It's his story, it's not man's story. No, our world lies under the sway of the wicked one right now more than ever before. It's being rocked to sleep. Why? Their minds. Their minds, the spirit of their minds, they're blinded, confused, deceived, desensitized. We're living in a flood, a sewer of sin. That's exactly where we are right now. The lost love themselves. They're slaves. They're slaves to sin. They're slaves to death, just like we were before we were born again. There is no true spiritual life in their thinking. Now listen, there is only one way not to be conformed and dominated, controlled by this world, and there's only one way to put off the old man thinking and put on the new man's thinking, and that is we cannot be conformed to this world, but we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which means the Word of God should be priority in our lives. We have to feed the Word of God, spoon-feed it, every day. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Listen, you can't put off the old man's mind without putting on the new man's mind, because there's only two minds on this planet. One that's being conformed to this world, one that's being transformed by the renewing of themselves by into the Word of God. Now listen, if you don't and I don't stay in God's Word, it's constant, ongoing. You'll never grow spiritually. It's an impossibility. You have to desire the sincere milk of the Word. There's just no other way. Now, I'm missing a page out of my notes, and that if I am, I'm going to be very upset. I'm not. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Very important. Whew. This was hot off the press this morning. This is a 4 a.m. sermon. God changes things. You know what I mean? If we do not renew the spirit of our minds, we will fall prey to every wind of doctrine, and we will never know how to truly defeat the defeated one, Satan, the angel of light, they call him, who makes darkness look like light. You see, you have to get into the Word of God. And the tragedy of not renewing our minds over and over and being obedient to it is that you'll never know the perfect and good will of God for your life. You'll never be able to prove what it is. The word prove means to test it, to experience it. You'll never ever do those things. An unrenewed mind is a mind that is unarmed, and it's not protected. It's not protected at all. Why? Because see, that is the place Satan can attack now. That's the only place. Oh, it's where he can tempt you. He can't touch you. He can't possess you. We are belong to God. We're a purchased possession, amen? But we have to do something with our minds. That's why he attacks it. All he wants is just a little foothold. If he can just get one little foothold, he knows that he can maybe change our moral compass a little bit. No, listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel, if it's veiled, the good news is hidden, it's veiled to those that are perishing. He says, but even if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. When did that start? All the way back at the fall. He's blinded the minds who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What really prevents those in Adam, the old man, even, and they can be good people. Not, you know, they work hard, they pay their taxes, they love their kids, they're not animals. What prevents them from coming to Jesus? It's not because the gospel is not being preached. This nation is saturated with the gospel. You know why? Because Satan immediately, he blinds their mind. He doesn't want the spirit of the mind to be renewed at all. Does that make sense? He doesn't want that at all. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't no longer act like dead men. Our minds are not debased. A debased mind, remember Romans 1:28, we don't have a debased mind, a mind that incapable of forming right judgments and right truths. No, that's not our mind level. No, listen, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul told the church at Colossae, he says in Colossians 3:2, he said, set your mind on things above. Don't set your mind on things on this earth. No. Hebrews 8:10, listen very carefully. This is a covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. He made the new covenant with them before he made it with us, right? Okay, good. He says, saith the Lord, here it comes. What? Listen to this now. God says, I will put my laws in their what? Nope. Ah, in their minds. Not the carnal mind, the renewed, the spirit. You follow me? Oh, he says, I'm going to put my laws in their mind, that piece that's missing, and I'm going to write them on the heart, two different places, and I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Man, listen, our minds were created. Do you understand? Listen, our mind is created for only God's truth. That's what we're going to have when we get home. Only the truth of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a healthy mind. A healthy mind, that means before we were born again, our mind wasn't healthy, but now it is healthy. The great commandment, one of the three vision scriptures and statements for this church, Matthew 22:37, it says, but you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, your strength, and your mind. Your mind. Isn't that amazing? God says, no, all of your mind. How do you do that? You renew your minds. You renew the spirit of your mind. Packer said this, man's mind becomes free only when its thoughts are brought into the captivity of Christ. That's why, you see, our minds, that's where the war comes on. That's why, what is it, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 or whatever, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They're not carnal mentality. They're carnal. They're not of the flesh. They're not of this world, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination, every lie that doesn't agree with God's truth. You are to cast it down, bringing every thought into obedience, the obedience of Christ. And I say, dear Lord, the risen Savior, I know it's time to go. The risen Savior, loved one, listen to me. The spirit of our mind is so vital to write this, in this, especially in the moment we're in. When Jesus rose from the dead, remember before he ascended, he met with his disciples because they were afraid and didn't believe he was really risen from the dead. And he said, touch me and all the rest. Here, give me some honeycomb and I'll eat and all the rest of the things. And then Jesus did something in Luke's Gospel 24:45. Listen to what he did. First, he opened their hearts. Remember, if you study out chapter 24 of Luke, but then he opened their minds. Listen. And then Jesus, he opened their understanding, that spirit of the mind, that they might understand or they might comprehend the scriptures. You know, you might be listening, I don't know where you're at, all over the world. I thank you for tuning in. Maybe you're sitting here, but I think this is probably all the family of God. But you're sitting on your couch, you're in your car, you're outside on the patio, you're having your coffee, your breakfast, wherever you are, whatever time it is in your nation or your wherever you are. Listen to me now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to say right this minute, say, Jesus, open my understanding. Because your minds are blind. You see, your minds are messed up if you don't know Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. He wants you to be with him forever. But you know what? The heart must believe before the mind can be opened. You have to believe in your heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You don't know Jesus. You've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. I love you. He loves you. Listen to me. If you will confess with your mouth, if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God says, I will save you. You pray this prayer with me right now. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the truth of your word. Jesus, come into my heart. Open my understanding. I want you to be the Lord of my life. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe now in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I believe that, you would save me. Well, I believe. Save me now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Now listen.